From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruiak. New York's governor says the state needs 1 million more healthcare workers for the COVID-19 crisis. The U.S. now has more than 3,000 deaths. In fact, just looking at the latest figures, we're at 3,400 from this virus. California has put out the call for healthcare workers. If you are a doctor, a nurse, a physician's assistant, a medical technician, a pharmacist, a dentist, an EMT, a mental health professional, a respiratory therapist, a medical assistant, the list goes on. And this applies to whether you're a recent retiree, a student who is close to graduation, an administrator, or any other member of the healthcare field not working now. Governor Newsom has an invitation.
We have more licensed healthcare professionals in the state of California than any state in the nation, some 766,000 professionals in the state of California. But we estimate we have the capacity to increase our ranks by an additional 37,000 plus professionals that are in that time of life where they, again, may have just recently retired or they're in the process of getting their license and their degrees. And so we are very, very hopeful with this effort that we will see a surge of individuals to be paid and compensated to participate in the workforce and distributed throughout our care delivery system all around the state of California.
The place to begin is a website. It has information and an application. It is healthcorps.ca.gov, healthcorps, with core spelled C-O-R-P-S, healthcorps.ca.gov. And you can find more details, also a link to the website at capradio.org. As to how this might work in a specific health system, we reached out to the North Bay Healthcare Group. This is the first known community transmission COVID case in the country being admitted to one of North Bay's hospitals. That was the Vaca Valley Hospital in Vacaville weeks ago. And joining us by phone is Amy Brewer, president of North Bay Healthcare Group. Ms. Brewer, thanks for joining us on Insight.
Absolutely. Good morning.
Let me start, first of all, with your reaction to the governor's healthcare recruiting effort.
Well, I think that we are fortunate to be in a state where we are being very proactive in building our healthcare workforce. I think the governor has spoken about the fact that the California has purchased two hospitals and is looking at hospitals that were closed and is looking at other areas where we can surge and provide additional hospital beds and emergency department beds and make sure we have enough supplies and staff and physicians to meet the need of whatever surge may be coming.
This is an experience you already know in some variation, though, because after that first patient was admitted and then transferred to UC Davis and confirmed positive for COVID-19, would you describe how many hospital workers ended up being quarantined?
Sure, yes. So we, at the moment we found out several days after the patient had been transferred, UC Davis tested her several days after she'd been to UC Davis. So some time had passed. We immediately went into a tracking and tracing all of the people who had come in contact with the patient through the review of our medical record, as well as even actually looking at security footage to make sure we were able to identify everybody who had come in contact with that patient. At that time, we were working closely with the CDC and public health to do contact tracing. And we had just over 100 employees who we took off work and were quarantined at home to ensure that there was no additional spread of disease within our health system or within the community.
It's been reported that the number was double that, some 200 hospital workers were unable to work for various reasons.
Not at North Bay. We had just over 100, and then they were able to come back to work within the 14 days. We did test over 80 healthcare workers, and three were positive and required some medical care, and we're thrilled to, you know, share with you that they are home recuperating, and one is actually back to work and feeling great.
Do you have any other healthcare workers that were unrelated to that original transmission in either isolation or quarantine right now?
We do not, no. I think, you know, being among the first, we gained some early experience. And the other piece for North Bay is that we have had three different cohorts of evacuees that were stationed at Travis Air Force Base, and we are the closest hospital to Travis Air Force Base. And so we have had many positive patients cared for here through that evacuation and repatriation process. And so North Bay was able to gain really early experience in managing patients with coronavirus, as well as making sure our plans and processes are in place to safely care for these people. And so we're at this point have nobody isolated at home.
And tell me about the recovery rate of the number of COVID-19 patients that have been hospitalized in your two hospitals. How have they done?
All have done very well and are home, recovering at home and regaining their strength, et cetera. Solano County, as of last night, had 43 cases and zero deaths. And so we also have had zero deaths in our hospital. We have had two patients that we were able to put on two different clinical trials that met the criteria for some of these advanced disease clinical trials, and both did well and, again, are home recovering.
We're becoming familiar with these drugs, remdesivir and chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine. Can you say more about the trials that have been used in your hospitals?
Well, without getting into too much information, we did we have, you know, again, had patients on both of those trials. And again, in our experience, both did well, but it's an N of two. And so I think it's too early to tell, but we're working closely with UC Davis and other health systems to learn more with their experience and treatments, both early disease as well as later stage disease. Obviously, our goal is to avoid patients needing ICU level care, right? I mean, so the earlier we can start some interventions, the better. And I think as we learn more from other states and as well as our own, we will work very closely, very quickly to implement them here.
The interesting thing about a conversation around COVID-19 or coronavirus is that one sentence can be said and it raises six related questions, and we're all learning so much about this. But I don't want to lose going back to that original story of that first patient coming to the hospital. And I'd like to hear it from your perspective, how she presented. We know she was a woman in her 40s who had no underlying health problems. How she presented there, what happened with trying to get a COVID-19 testing, and at what point you knew she needed to be transferred.
Sure. So if it's hard to look all the way back into February and remember what it felt like back then. But we follow, you know, CDC guidelines for testing for corona and other diseases. And so the patient presented, and obviously I can't go into many details, but she presented to our emergency room with her family and was diagnosed with community-acquired pneumonia. I believe that's already been publicly reported. And at that time, in conversation with both the patient as well as her family, she did not meet criteria for testing, which was travel, you know, to certain areas of the world or coming in contact with somebody who had. And so we did not test her. We are a very advanced health system that provides tertiary care. There are times where a patient, we transfer for higher level of care. And we did that in this case when her condition deteriorated. And then she was at UC Davis for several days where she, again, did not at that point meet criteria. And again, way back in February, the CDC was needing to approve testing because the testing was so limited. It was only being done at the CDC in Atlanta at that time.
Did you have a COVID-19 test kit on site?
No.
So a test kit would have needed to be sent to you to be able to perform it, correct?
Correct.
So what's happened since then with available test kits?
Sure. So what's happened since then is, first of all, testing is available with Solano County Public Health. And so our county lab has test kits and has distributed them to the hospitals in our county and can do about 60 tests per day and gets them back to us same day or early, you know, the next day. In addition, we are using Quest Labs for outpatient testing, though that turnaround is longer. We and many health systems, or I'm sure all health systems, are working to get the rapid tests in our lab so that we can have them, within the hour. I mean, there's multiple different vendors that are making these rapid tests, and of course, it's getting in line to get them as quickly as possible. And we're hoping, in the next, it would be ideal to say the end of this week, but in the next, 1 to 2 weeks, that we'll have the testing capability on site.
Once you heard back from UC Davis that the patient that had been transferred there tested positive, what happened and how quickly in your hospitals in terms of safety, protection for healthcare workers, that spike in awareness must have been almost immediate?
It was immediate. You could make a movie about it. we immediately went into action. So that looks like our command center was opened and elevated. We immediately had a team of informatics as well as security and other leaders, again, sort of scrutinizing every inch of the medical record to see who came in contact with the patient. And again, looking at security footage in our hallways to see who went in and out of the patient room the entire time she was at our hospital. So from the emergency room to where she was admitted, so that we could immediately contact and if staff member who had been in caring for this patient were on shift, they were asked to go home and they were backfilled, so that we could do sort of symptom assessment and monitoring and then determine those who needed testing. And so that did happen immediately. I would say, in general, hospitals have emergency response plans in place for earthquakes, for fires, for infectious diseases. So you dust off your emergency plan and take, your Ebola plan or your other infectious disease plan and update it to be coronavirus. And so that does lead to ensuring that that we have additional negative pressure rooms and isolation rooms, that our staff has the appropriate PPE protective equipment that they need when interacting with both positive as well as suspected patients. And I'll stop there, but I'm happy to talk more about that suspected piece, which we're learning more and more about every day.
Go ahead. Go forward with that right now.
Sure. So the challenge with this is, as I'm sure you know, is the shedding of this virus. So when are you, even you can be asymptomatic and still be potentially spreading the disease. And so we've taken a very aggressive approach within North Bay, given that we did have exposures back in February, to ensure that we are protecting our workforce as well as our patients and community at large. And so we have deployed sort of aggressive masking of our employees coming in contact with patients, even if they are asymptomatic, because we do not know. So if you're in our urgent care or our emergency departments, for example, anybody coming in, may have a respiratory illness that could be allergies or cough or influenza, or it may be coronavirus. At this point, we have to assume sort of the worst until we have testing and results that prove otherwise.
If I look at your staffing stats, it seems that you have a nursing staff of about 1,200 and then just under 500 providers, meaning physicians and specialists. Are those numbers about right?
Yeah.
So is it sustainable going forward when we move into this surge to think about quarantining any of your healthcare staff or a large number of them who might have been exposed for 14 days as the current recommendations call for?
Well, it's not sustainable. And so a couple things that we are doing, again, we work very closely with public health, and we are so fortunate to have a tight-knit medical community in Solano County where the health systems and the county work very closely together and take all of the data and information we know about this disease and make guidelines that mirror largely CDC and guidelines. So what that means is, if you have, just because you're exposed to a positive patient doesn't mean you're going to get it, especially if you have proper PPE, which is, continue to be our focus. And so all of our healthcare workers will remain at work so long as they are asymptomatic. We've been very messaging on a daily basis, if you are sick, do not come to work. That is something that we message all the time, but we're really reiterating it right now that we, the moment you feel like, you have a cough, a new cough, fever, or other symptoms, do not come to work. And our goal is that when you are well, we need you at work, and you may be working, extra hours in double shifts, but when you are ill, do not be at work. And so that's helping us preserve our workforce. In addition, we are looking at, we obviously always want to follow the nurse ratios and other staffing ratios that California has, but we're looking at team-based models of care, where potentially a respiratory therapist who typically has four patients on a vent might have six patients or even eight patients and then have other support members as part of that respiratory team. The same thing with an ICU nurse. We may typically have that ICU nurse, one nurse to two patients. Maybe they're going to have one ICU nurse to two or to three or four patients with other nursing teams supporting the efforts. And so I think, you know, what we're going to find at all hospitals is that the respiratory therapist, the ICU level care nurses, the pulmonologists, the intensivists, the critical care physicians are going to be where the shortage occurs. And how do we build a team around them so that they can take care of, you know, more patients than they normally would?
This sounds like you're fully in support of the waiver, which would change or waive the current ratios that the state requires.
I am, so long as it's done safely. And I think that is something that we are focusing on, like I just mentioned. So it's not just a free-for-all where an inexperienced, brand-new grad nurse, you know, graduate has 10 patients all on ventilators. That would not be something we would do at North Bay. But I think it's very appropriate to, again, look at having, you know, again, this subject matter expert or this highly experienced nurse, respiratory therapist, intensivist over a team of people to be able to take care of a larger number of patients. So I think it's very wise that we've done that.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Amy Brewer. She is president of the North Bay Healthcare Group. This includes hospitals in Fairfield and Vacaville. We are referencing the governor's message yesterday to recruit healthcare workers in any capacity who might not be in the field right now. What do you think of, you've already referenced the students to some degree. What about recent retirees? Do all the scenarios that the governor mapped out work for you?
Well, I think they do. Again, we, North Bay, have been in contact with our recent retirees, and actually many of them have been in contact with us before we could reach out to them saying, hey, I still have an active license. I'm here to help. And so we're looking at what does that look like to have some of them, you know, rejoin our care teams. I think that California is very fortunate to have very experienced physicians, nurses, respiratory therapists who have recently retired. And I think it's very appropriate to think that they could come back and lead a team in some of these other settings of students or other perhaps less experienced healthcare workers. Again, people could be led, you know, by a team of experienced physicians, respiratory therapists, nurses, and do a great job.
So could you help me with some specifics? In the picture of the surge that you're looking at in your county and your hospitals in particular, how much by the numbers would you anticipate you need to boost your staff? And I'm also interested in ICU beds, which I understand you have about 30 of right now. I don't know what capacity are available, but as specific as you can give me a picture, please.
Sure. So the governor's office has asked that every hospital in California be prepared to surge 40%. And we have that in place and actually a little bit more. And so, for example, we can very comfortably expand at North Bay Medical Center in Fairfield. We have 24 ICU beds. We have a very good plan in place to be able to surge to 46 beds here at North Bay. So we would take a unit and turn it all into ICU level care. We have ventilators to support that. We have staffing models to support that. When we then look at the next phase, which would be, for example, converting old operating rooms into ICU beds, or we have at North Bay an ambulatory surgery center, and do you convert that into a 30-bed coronavirus hospital? Some of those are, it sounds really easy, but then you have to look at, you know, do you have the right med gas and the right ventilator support? And, you know, there's a lot of details that go into all of these plans. And so it's not sometimes just physical space. It's does the physical space actually work, or will you provide sort of more harm than good? So we are prepared. We have met that 40% surge. We have not yet needed it. We also, for example, were able to, North Bay is fortunate. We opened a new wing this fall, and so we have some space that was in the middle of being repurposed. And so we stopped that work, and we're able to open up a new 10-bed isolation negative pressure unit. I'm sure not every hospital has that ability, but we were fortunate to be able to do that as well.
In the case of that very first community transmission case, when she was severely ill, she was moved to UC Davis Medical Center. So you could move patients onward. Are patients from smaller hospitals in the region moved to you and looking at your system as the big hospital in the area?
Yes. I mean, we do. We work with a regional transfer center, and there are many instances on a weekly and sometimes daily basis where we take patients from other centers for higher level of care.
And can I get back to the number of cases? If you could tell me a number of how many COVID-19 cases you've had and how many are in either of your hospitals right now.
So I don't want to misspeak live on the radio. So Solano County has 43 total cases thus far. We had 12 cases back in February and early March that were from the Travis Air Force Base evacuation effort. So those were not community-acquired cases. Those cases were from the cruise ship, the cruise ships, plural, that repatriated at Travis. In terms of the community acquired, I don't want to misspeak, but we have had 4 within our hospitals thus far.
So as you said early in this conversation, Amy, you're learning a lot. What's important to share with other healthcare groups and, frankly, any of us in terms of your experience with this disease and how to manage it?
Sure. Well, I don't want to repeat what everybody's been saying, but I really think the shelter in place is the biggest lesson and the biggest take home for everybody listening. It's as simple as, you know, go to the grocery store once a week if you have to go at all. You know, really think about, do I need to go get a cup of coffee or can I make my own? Do I need to go to the hardware store or can I stay home? Do I need to go to the park with my children or can I find a place that is that doesn't have anybody, you know, there? So I think that we need to get a little bit more serious with the shelter in place to really help slow the spread of disease so that our hospitals do not get overwhelmed. I mean, that cannot be stressed enough, the importance of that. I think, you know, the hand washing, you know, a lot of the things that we talk about, stay hydrated, get good sleep. I mean, all of these things are sort of basic, but really do make a huge difference, quite frankly, in life or death in this situation. I think it's also, you know, if you have mild symptoms and can manage them at home through hydration and sleep and other symptom management, that is another takeaway. Because what we're trying to do is preserve our hospitals and our emergency departments and our inpatient beds for the patients that really need that acute level care.
And then with respect to the fact that there are treatment trials going on, which have happened at your hospital and others, could you at least give me a sense of where you are on the optimism, pessimism about one of these treatment trials producing something that will be in the mainstream?
Mm-hmm. Well, as I mentioned, we've had an N of 2 that have both responded well to the treatments and have gone from being, you know, quite frankly, critically ill to home and fully recuperating. So, well, that's 100%. But I think an N of 2 is probably, you know, too small to tell. I think it's very, I'm very optimistic. I think we have, I mean, this country and the world has really come together and done a great job at advancing different clinical trials and learning very quickly and turning around papers and experiences. And I know that our intensivists and our infectious disease physicians have worked very closely with like physicians at many different organizations across the state and country to learn real time to implement what's going on, you know, what how we can implement that with the patients we have. And so that's all very hopeful.
I think as we learn all of our science through so many people, including you, you might have to translate N of 2 so that everybody understands in the trial world what you mean in terms of test cases.
I apologize. It means that we have had 2 patients that we have treated with some of the experimental drugs, and both of those patients had a good result and are home, fully recuperating at home. So I was just mentioning that if we had successfully treated 100 patients on these drugs, we might have more confidence that they really are sort of the cure. Right now, it's a very small sample size, but very good initial results.
Well, I'm looking at some breaking news right now, Amy, that the U.S. death toll has now crossed 3,500, which does eclipse China's official count. And so with what you just said, I think every glimmer of light on the horizon becomes something more powerful to hang on to. So I'm inclined to leave our conversation right there when you have used the word optimism.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me this morning.
Amy, I'm so happy to talk with you, and thanks for all of the places that you filled in some information and understanding. I truly appreciate it.
Great. Thank you.
Amy Brewer is president of North Bay Healthcare Group with hospitals in Fairfield and Vacaville, California. So California will pass 7,500 positive cases today. Nevada right now is just over 1,000 and will be approaching 1,100. Up next, we're going to talk to a Davis man who describes the situation that he and his wife are in after the drug hydroxychloroquine became a potential treatment for COVID-19. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.